the apostolic band, the disciples, they began to criticize Mary. They began to complain about what she was doing among themselves. And though they weren't open in their criticism to the Lord, yet he knew that it was going on among themselves. And at that point, he stands forth and he rebukes the disciples and he says, "Let her alone, leave her alone, for she hath wrought a good work on me." The lesson for our hearts and for our lives is this, that the Lord Jesus defends those who genuinely and sincerely serve Him in truth. And when others criticize and complain, the Lord would come to the defense of His people. I want to look at this rebuke and I want to look at this scene a little more closely this morning. And there are three main lessons that I want to leave with you and I want to share with you. I want you to see firstly this morning the ministry that preceded this rebuke. The end of verse 6 says, the words of Jesus, this is the conclusion of the Son of God, the judge of all the earth, the judge of His people. He says, "She," that is Mary, "hath wrought a good work on me." When Mary anointed Jesus with that ointment, she did a good work on Him and for Him. You know, we often hear good works. You should highlight those two words, good work. For Jesus is now commending Mary for doing a good work. And we often hear good works lambasted from our pulpits in the sense that good works do not save our souls, and that is right and it is true and it is proper for the preacher to highlight that and to denounce good works when they're viewed in that sense. The hymn writer said, "Working will not save me. Purest deeds that I can do, holiest thoughts and feelings too, cannot form my soul anew. Working will not save me." And that is true. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. But when we are saved, we are saved unto good works. And Paul said in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he had just said, salvation's not by good works, but when the Lord saves our souls, He saves us unto a life of good works. And the difference is this, and we need to get the right relationship between faith and works. We are not saved by works, but when we are saved, good works will flow from the renewed and regenerate heart. And Mary was already saved, and therefore she was doing a good work on the Savior and for the Savior. And the Lord commended that. And I say to you, if you want to live a life and have the commendation of God upon your life, you should be seeking, as a saved individual, as a Christian, one that is redeemed, you should be seeking to walk in good works and perform those good works for and upon and to the Savior. Would you notice the focus of Mary's work or service? Really, she was performing a service for the Lord. Look at verse 6. Jesus said, "She hath wrought a good work on me." What Mary did and what Mary gave, she did and she gave to and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some professing Christians want to serve the Lord for the attention and the praise of men. And then if they don't get enough of it, They want to sulk as the school children do. Others are more taken up with promoting the church or the institution or the denomination. But Mary had it right. Her good work was motivated for the Lord. It was for Jesus, for His benefit. And that's what ought to move us and motivate us in our service for the Lord. The things that we do for Him and for His kingdom and for His cause. It's for Christ and His benefit. It was that spirit that Paul grasped and proclaimed to the Corinthians when he said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, "What we do, do all for the glory of God." And that's the spirit that moved Mary. She was serving Christ for Christ and for Christ's benefit. And that's the focus that should be on our service and upon our works for the Lord. We serve Him. She hath done a good work for me, or on me. She hath wrought a good work on me. But then I want you to consider, not only was the focus of Mary's service Christ, but the fullness of Mary's service was great. You'll notice in verse 3, it tells us that there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on His head. I want you to consider that little phrase, it was very precious. When those who were in her presence murmured and complained, they said that it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Now in Matthew chapter 20 and in the verse 2, the Lord told a little parable. It was a parable about working men. And in verse 2 of Matthew 20, it tells us, when He had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, He sent them into His vineyard. The working man earned a penny a day. The laborer received a penny a day. That was the working man's wage, the laborer's wage. Now there are 365 days in the year. There are 52 Sabbaths. You keep the Sabbaths out of the year. And if you say there are 6 pence a week for a working man's wage, this ointment was almost, or virtually, if it was more than 300 pence, it was a year's salary for the working man in that day. And she brings that costly ointment. And she breaks it on the head of Jesus to anoint Him for His burial. Nothing was too great to give to the Lord. She was giving of her best. She was serving the Lord sacrificially. She was making a great personal sacrifice to perform this good work, this service for the Lord. Wasn't she like the widow who, when she came to the temple, she cast her 2 mites in, and my of the Pharisees had have witnessed it, they would have said she's given next to nothing. But the Lord said she has given more than all the rest. They cast in of their wealth, but she gave all that she had. It was only a little, but it was a great sacrifice for her to make. And that's the spirit of Mary. She's serving the Lord sacrificially. And oh, that's how the Lord would commend His people. That's why the Lord said in verse 6, she hath wrought a good work on me. She served sacrificially. And whether it be sacrificing our time, whether it be sacrificing our substance, whether it be sacrificing our gifts and giving them to the Lord, what we have and what we are, this is the service the Lord commands. You'll notice in verse 8, something else about the fullness of her service being great. The Lord says she hath done what she could. Mr. Roberts, who was with us on Wednesday night, he alluded to this thought when he was speaking. He said too many believers are taken up with what they can't do for the Lord. And at times we may get discouraged in what we can't do for the Lord. But the Lord commends this woman's service because she did what she could. The Lord isn't asking you to do something you can't do. The Lord is asking you to do what you can. And Mary would never be a preacher. She would never hold office in the New Testament church. She would never be an apostle. She would never be an evangelist or a missionary. But she could anoint the Lord for His death and His burial. And that's what she did. And my friend, is there something you can do for the Lord? Is there some aspect of a service you can support in a greater way or a fuller way? And as yet, you're simply standing on the sidelines. Oh, may you serve the Lord with all that you are and all that you have. Here's Mary, and the focus of her service was Christ. It was on me, Jesus said. It was for me. The fullness of her service was great. She served the Lord at personal cost and sacrifice. But then the faith of Mary's service is evident. Look at what the Lord says in verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for burying. For the burying. The custom in those times, in the days of Christ, was once a person passed away, they would anoint the body with ointments, with spices. Nicodemus and Joseph did this work when they took the Lord off the cross before they placed Him in the tomb. And Mary came beforehand. And this anointing was with the death of the Lord in view. You know, that tells me two things. Mary's service was motivated by the cross of Christ and the death of Christ. And all service for the Lord is motivated by the dying love of Jesus. Oh, I would love to move every Christian to be more active in the work of God. But I tell you, I can never do it. And preachers have tried, and in the past, they've tried to lay the guilt on men and women. And at times then, they've tried to stir with encouraging words. Listen, the only thing that will move you to serve the Lord is when you get a glimpse of His dying love for your soul. That He died and He suffered and He bore the curse that you might go free. And Mary, with the Lord's death in view, she was moved to serve Him. You know, it says something else to me. That is this, and I ask the question, how did Mary know that Jesus was about to die? Although the Lord had spoken to His disciples, they hadn't grasped it. They hadn't understood it. I put it to you, Mary knew Christ's death was nigh. Because Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And brethren and sisters, when Jesus spoke to His disciples, He told them that He would go up to Jerusalem and He would suffer and He would die and He would rise again. And Mary grasped it. Why? Because she sat at His feet and she heard His word. And that reminds me and teaches me that to serve the Lord and to serve Him well, we need to be hearing His word and understanding it and letting it sink down into our hearts. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, he said, I have never met a useful Christian yet who didn't have a good grasp or good knowledge of God's word. And Mary served the Lord because she had faith in His word and she knew He was about to die. So she performed this act of love and devotion and service upon Him. That's the ministry that preceded this rebuke. And the Lord commended it. And the Lord commends the service of His children when performed in sincerity and in truth. But I want to move on this morning, and I want to draw your attention secondly and importantly to the second point, and it is this: the murmuring that provoked this rebuke. Look at verse 4 and 5. You see, though Mary had performed a good work for and upon the Lord Jesus, there were those who criticized her, and we read of it in verse 4. And Mark, I have to say, is very gracious. For he simply says there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Let me, just before we move on, let me highlight three words in those two verses. Let me highlight the word indignation. They were angry. There was a spirit of anger in that room. And I have no doubt it could be sensed. They spoke about this being a waste. Waste of money. Over time, it was a waste. And then verse 5, they murmured. Indignation, a waste, murmuring the one to the other. And I tell you, when you do a service for the Lord in sincerity and in truth, you can expect to be criticized and there to be tongues wag against you. Remember Nehemiah? When he built the walls of Jerusalem, we read that the enemies of the Lord, they slandered him. They slandered the work. They said, if a fox go up, the fox would knock it down. And they spoke evil against the people of the Lord as they served and worked the Lord, worked for the Lord. We expect that from the ungodly, don't we? And I suppose when the ungodly criticize the people of God in their service for the Lord, there comes a point when we say, well, it's par for the course. We expect it. The tragedy is that in this occasion, while Mark does not reveal who they were, who did the murmuring, who were angry, Matthew and John do tell us who they were. Turn back to Matthew 26. The grieving thing about this little incident is where this murmuring came from. Matthew 26, the verse 8, it's the same incident, but Matthew is the penman here. Look at verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, what did they see? They saw Mary bring the alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. What a tragedy that when the disciples saw what this lady performed for Christ, they murmured. They unjustly complained. And I sound a note of warning to every believer this morning. Be very careful before uttering criticism against others serving Christians. For that's the spirit that Christ rebuked. I know there are times when error has to be confronted. I know that Paul had to reprove Peter for the error of his ways. But we are now talking about something completely different. We're talking about a Christian who is genuinely going about the service of the Lord in a way that is proper, a way that is right, and in a way that is sincere. And yet the disciples, other believers, those among the apostolic group, They murmured. They were angry. They were full of indignation. And they spoke against this woman. And I'm saying, Christian, be very careful before uttering criticism against other serving Christians. If you turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 12, John reveals a little bit more about the source of this anger and murmuring, and it reveals another reason why Christian people should be very careful about joining in criticism and murmuring against others. You see, there was a group here. The group of disciples. It's plural. We don't know how many were involved, but there were certainly more than one. There was a group of them. And I'm saying we need to be very careful, not only because Christ rebukes that spirit, but notice what John highlights in John 12, verse 4. In fact, we'll just highlight verse 3 again to set the context. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? The murmuring had to start somewhere. And it started with Judas. And Judas was the tare among the wheat. Judas was the goat among the sheep. Judas was the unconverted man who was putting on the show among the believers. He was unconverted. He was not saved. He would betray the Lord. He was the traitor in the camp. He would betray the Lord. He would die and his soul would go to hell. And he was the man who started the criticism. And you'll notice that his motives were not pure. They were not true. For he says in verse 5, he's the man that started this report. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? I can picture the scene. I can see Judas in the midst. And I can see him shaking his head among other disciples. You know, that ointment's worth a lot of money. It's just been poured out on the head of Jesus and on his feet. We could have sold that money. 300 pence or more. Think about what we could have done with that money in alleviating the needs of the poor here in Jerusalem and among our people. But his motives were wrong. For look at what it says in verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. He wanted to get his hands on the bag and the money so that he could siphon it off for himself. But Jesus knew what he said. Look at what the Lord says in verse 8. You know, he answered that among the people that were there. He said, for the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I like what Matthew Henry said in relation to that verse. He said, why not give the money to the poor? Because it was better spent on Christ. And the lesson is this, that Christians should help the needy. And Christians should be willing to support charitable causes. But Christians should remember that firstly, we should seek to support the work of Christ, for our substance is better spent on the furtherance of the gospel than on secular temporal charities. And that's what the Lord is saying in the lesson he's laying down. But I'm coming back to the point that I was stressing. We should be careful in joining in murmuring against those that are serving the Lord. I said firstly, because the disciples, they joined therein, and the disciples, they criticized this lady.
But they took on to what Judas was saying. And they did not know this man's motives. And I am saying to you, the Lord not only rebukes the spirit of murmuring. That's the reason why we should be careful and we should not enter into that spirit. But we do not know the motives of those who start criticizing the service and Christians in the service of the Lord. Judas's motives were not genuine. They were not sincere. And yet the disciples, not knowing that, they joined in and the Lord rebuked them. Leave her alone. She's doing a service for me. And oh, how the Lord would rebuke that spirit of murmuring. How we need to be so careful, for we do not know the motives of those that begin it. But I tell you, we need to be careful, because the spirit of murmuring not only brings the displeasure of the Lord, but it hinders progress in the work of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 14, and I just mention this in passing, verses 2 to 22, we read of how the children of Israel, they murmured against the report of Caleb and Joshua. Go up to the land, let us possess it. And they murmured and they spoke against it. And verses 27 to 29 of that chapter tell us that the Lord drove the children of Israel into the wilderness for those 40 years. Because of their spirit of murmuring. He said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. He says, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land. They would wander for 40 years. They would not receive the fullness of the Lord's blessing. And they would die in the wilderness because of that murmuring spirit. That murmuring provoked the Lord to rebuke his disciples. There was the ministry that preceded the rebuke. But I want you thirdly this morning to consider verse 9 of Mark chapter 14. For there is the memorial that preceded this rebuke. Let me draw your attention to that verse in closing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial. The Lord Jesus not only defended his child, but he gave her his public approval. And he told his disciples that wherever the gospel was proclaimed, he would record this incident. And it would be spoken of this woman, Mary, as a memorial to her and for her. That reminds us of the words and the principle that the Lord said, they that honor me, I will honor. Here's a woman and she honored the Lord in her service. And the Lord said, I will honor her. For there will be a memorial for this woman right until the end of time. Where the gospel goes forth, people will speak and know and learn of this good deed she did for me. I want to close this morning by drawing your attention to a verse in Malachi chapter 3 and the verse 16. For it tells us that the Lord keeps in remembrance all the deeds of his people. While no one may write a book about your service for the Lord, let me tell you, the Lord is writing a book about your service for him. And it tells us in Malachi 3 and verse 16, then they that feared the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Just as the Lord kept a record
and a memorial was made for Mary in the scriptures and in the gospel of our good work for Christ. Let me tell you, the Lord is keeping a record of all of our lives. Maybe I should just speak a word in the gospel. If you're in the meeting, young or old, and you're not saved, the Lord's recording your life. He's recording how you reject Him. He's recording your sinful deeds, and at the day of judgment, the books will be opened. And one of those books will have all the details of your life. And you'll be judged out of those books. But child of God, for your encouragement. Yes, for the sinner, for the unconverted man or woman, we say, for your fear. That you may flee to Christ, the Lord, part of your life. But for the child of God, for your encouragement. The Lord is keeping a record of your service. One day it will be brought before the remembrance of the Lord as He returns. He says, lo, I come quickly. My reward is with me. I tell you, in that day, He will reward His people for their acts of service and their good deeds and their works for Him. Oh yes, the Lord will reward His people. And Mary, just as Mary's good deed was honored and remembered and will be rewarded, so every child of God that serves the Lord, works for Him, they too will have their deeds recorded and they shall be rewarded. Not only in this life, but in the glory land.